And Father, we do look to you. We look to you as our hope and our strength and our life. We look to you as our deliverer, our healer, our provider, our King, our Lord, our Master, our teacher, our mentor, our comforter, our friend. We look to you, Master. And we surrender. We cast our cares and commit to you our works. We ask for your forgiveness of every area that we have offended you in thought, word, deed, selfish ambitions, agreeing with the voice of the stranger, any works of the flesh. And we ask for the washing of the blood of the Lamb upon our spirit, soul, and body, our flesh, our members and memories, our conscience and emotions and imaginations, in the name of Jesus, as we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, take your rightful place here tonight. Bring us to the throne room of our Daddy. Open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear, our heart to receive what you have for us. Let the anointing and the power of your love and the glory of your presence break every yoke of bondage here tonight. As your word goes forth, that by the stripes of Jesus we're made whole. Oh, hallelujah. Bring deliverance, bring healing, bring impartation, bring revelation, and bring freedom. Because with the Spirit of the Lord is there is freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Matthew 19, please? Matthew chapter 19. Oh, lift your hands, get another drink, please. Hallelujah. Lord, fill us, kill us, position us, and establish us for your glory. We welcome overflow and abundance. Oh, yes. In Matthew 19, and verse 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for not my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Now, I want to share something important here, because he says that there is a place of regeneration. A place of regeneration. And in this place of regeneration is a place where God brings us to. But there's also a place of regeneration where we're going to be calling home. Are you with me? But there's something that has to happen. We got to change. And God brings us through a process of change, doesn't he? Now, a place of regeneration. And in this place, we know that regeneration is like a spiritual rebirth. It's like a being new again, or restoration. And these disciples were saying, "Lord, we've left all to follow you." But Jesus said, "Listen, if you're willing to leave all to follow me, you're going to have 100-fold. How many of y'all want 100-fold? So in this, there is a regeneration that God brings us through. Does everybody understand that? To have a place where there's a regeneration. Everybody knows what a generation is, right? Well, there's a regeneration. And that means that we are a regeneration, but not a generation of this world, a generation from this world. Why? Because we don't belong here anyways. That's why we must regenerate every night. By what? Sleeping. So we regenerate by what? Sleeping. Because we don't belong here. Because if we belonged here, we wouldn't have to sleep. Hallelujah. So there's a process that God brings us through. Go to Matthew 16. And verse 21, making new. We are a life of regeneration, making things new. And Matthew 16 and verse 21, is everybody there? It says, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this should happen to you. But Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. And in this, the Lord, because Peter was looking carnally, naturally, and because he loved Jesus, he was willing to fight for Jesus. But in that, he was forgetting that he was God. Now, in this, I want you to understand that when you come in agreement with the voice of a stranger, guess who has access to you? Satan. So obviously, Satan got Peter to agree with him, access him, and try to get to Jesus. But Jesus saw that. He said, listen, Peter, right? He rebukes him, right? But he is actually rebuking who? Satan. And he tells Peter, he says, man, listen, you ain't supposed to be doing this. In other words, Peter did not understand who he was listening to. And by that, Satan accessed Peter. The Lord rebuked him and said, you are mindful of only the things of men, but not mindful of the things of God. Does everybody understand that? And that's what will separate us, isn't it? Because those who put their mind on the things of God will have life. And those who put their mind on the things of the flesh will die. So in this, Satan was trying to mislead or stop something that Jesus was trying to do. What was he trying to do? Fulfill the will of God, wasn't he? So now I want you to hear this, because in the regeneration process, it's about doing God's will. But there's a place that God begins to regenerate us and change us so that we can do his will. Because in the flesh, you can't do his will. Who would have ever thought that we'd be sitting here on a Tuesday night listening to the Word of God? Whoever thought I'd be here preaching it? It still blows my mind. You know, you can't figure out how you got where you got. Why? Because things move so rapidly in the spirit, you know, but there is a process to it, isn't there? So we know that Satan tried to use Peter to either mislead or to stop the process of regeneration. Does everybody understand that? And in this, this is where the Lord says something very, very powerful. And he says something like, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and what? And follow me. What does he say? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow me. Now go to verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, what? If anyone, what? Desires to come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Find it. Why? Because he's trying to get us 100-fold, isn't he? God is always trying to get something to me and you. Now, we've been talking about the area of discipline and obedience, and as the Spirit began to give me these again, he said these are the 7 attributes of regeneration. I thought, wow. And it seems like we just keep going back to this arena because time is running out. How many of y'all know that? In fact, I'm going to share something with you that I had a vision the other day. And in this, in my prayer time, I saw Jesus says he is the beginning and the end, right? And I saw the beginning and I saw the end. It was almost like a timeline. Because where there's a beginning, there's an end. He is the Alpha and he's the Omega. And I saw the creation and mankind beginning. I mean, they're going towards the end, aren't they? But for the first time, I saw time moving towards man, moving towards creation. In other words, and then the Spirit was quickened to me in the area of the Scripture, if the days were not shortened, even the elect would be deceived. And I thought, wow. So you may not understand this, and sometimes you might sense it, and sometimes you might not, but I'm telling you that God is now bringing time towards us to shorten it. Now don't freak out, well, I got all these things to do. Man, don't worry about it. What's awaiting you is a lot better than this place. So for the first time, and I've never seen this before, I saw the Lord begin to bring time towards His creation because He's shortening it. And He began to explain to me why He's shortening time now, as according to the Scripture. Because He's concerned that even His elect will be deceived. Because there's such a delusion now coming, even greater and greater and greater. Now, we don't know the exact day or time, do we? But we must be prepared in every area. So God is bringing us through a regeneration. And in this regeneration, there are seven attributes of regeneration. And in this, it's called discipline. That's the first one. Now, I want to remember, He said, there's three things that you and I must do. What is it? Deny what? Self, pick up the cross, and follow Him. So I want you to look at something very powerful. Because in this, discipline is a denial of self, isn't it? Obedience is an area where we trust. We trust the truth. We know the truth. Obedience is trusting God. Is everybody with me? And authority, which is the next one, is to submit and to follow. Has everybody got it? Because if you can't submit, you don't have any authority. If you can't submit to authority, right? So we see here that in this, again, the first three attributes is discipline, obedience, and authority. And that represents denial of self, trust, trust the truth, trust the gospel. That's what? Pick up the cross. And the other one is authority, which means submit or to follow. Is everybody with me? And then we have dominion, victory, freedom, and favor. And these are the seven attributes of regeneration. It is a process of regeneration. Is everybody with me? And it begins of salvation. It begins at the day that you've accepted Jesus as Savior. That's when it begins. Now, there's something important you got to understand, that salvation is not the end of things. Salvation is the beginning of things. And that's where the devil comes in and deceives a lot of individuals, because once they get saved, they think that's it. And they've never made or gone through the process of regeneration. And there's a difference between an outward walk and an inward walk. See, so it begins with salvation, which is the beginning, not the end. And the first thing that we do is we come to Christ Jesus. We repent for our sins, don't we? We ask Him to be Savior and Lord of our life. And we give Him our life. If you haven't done that yet, regeneration cannot start. It will not start. It just doesn't. Regeneration is only for those who are His. Is everybody with me? Go to Philippians 2. Life of regeneration. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Let's read it together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always what? Obeyed. Now, which one would that be? Obedience is the what? Second one, isn't it? As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, hello, but now much more in my absence. Work out your what? Your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, we're being regenerated, aren't we? We are a regeneration. Among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We see here then that we must work out our salvation. And in working out this salvation, it is the process of regeneration. Now listen, in the process of regeneration, it is an area to acquire, establish, and maintain. Acquire, establish, and maintain a new life. It is the process to what? Acquire, establish, and maintain a new life. Many lives has allowed Satan to delay or even stop the process of regeneration. And they have fallen out of position. The Bible tells us that the Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, many will fall from the faith. Are we in the latter days? Amen. That's why he is shortening time now. Again, I want to share with you that salvation is the start, isn't it? It is the beginning of regeneration. But I want you to know that salvation, even when you get saved, then you begin to want to do things, but we have a form of godliness, but yet it's more of an outward walk instead of an inward walk. Has everybody got it? So salvation is the first gift, isn't it? But as we begin to go into the process of regeneration, it begins to bring us into an inward walk and no longer an outward walk. Did you ever run into somebody who says they're a believer, yet they're still cussing, drinking, and thinking it's okay in certain things? Why? Because either they have been misled and the regeneration has been slowed or the process has been stopped. Especially somebody that says they've been a believer for 30 years. That's disgusting. Well, I've been following the Lord for years. Well, I don't know what Lord you're following. Because if you were following my Lord, you'd be more like him. Instead of like the heathen. So there is a regeneration process that God brings us to. And those are the seven attributes that we just talked about. Is everybody okay? Everybody get this? So listen, the devil's going to always, the powers of darkness are always going to try to bring something to mislead you or to prevent or slow down the regeneration process. And that's why sometimes people have a hard time or they struggle in certain areas because they're not allowing God to really allow the process to manifest in their lives. So what they do is they quit. They go back to the world because they're looking for fulfillment. Because it's really not an inward walk, is it? It's an outward walk. They haven't gotten to that place where there's an inward walk where conviction is sensitive. Where the voice of God is heard. Where the unction by the Spirit is obeyed. Everything is outward. And that's how we start salvation. It's outward. So we have to have something given to us, don't we? It's called discipline. Do this. Read these prayers. Do this. Do that. So we need guidance, don't we? So as that person maintains that discipline, something's beginning to happen because they're sowing, aren't they? That's the beginning of the regeneration process, isn't it? And then next thing you know, they start becoming obedient. And once the obedience is beginning to establish, authority is granted to them. And the process continues. But the whole purpose is to get to a place where there's that inward walk and not where your inward walk is more powerful, hello, than the outward walk. Does everybody got it? Because if your inward walk is more powerful than your outward walk is going to express Christ. Hallelujah. Because many people like to be seen by their works, don't they? They like to be seen praying. Remember, Jesus called them hypocrites. Oh, they pray forever. But they don't really say anything. Or they do this, or they do that. And in this, there's more of an hour. They're trying to impress people of how spiritual they are. But in true reality, you'll smell them by their fruit. Because their fruit will stink. So they have a form of godliness, but actually denying the power. Why? Because the power is within. Is everybody okay? Go to Titus 3. So we must work out our salvation. It starts with salvation, and the regeneration process continues. In Titus chapter 3. and verse 1, please. Titus 3, verse 1. Let's read it together. Remind them to be what? Subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration in the what? Renewing of what? The Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Say constantly. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. In other words, it's a washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's why God commanded us to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so an inward walk could begin. And I'm sharing this with you because it's important. So many times people think that just by accepting Jesus as Savior, that's it. They think it's the end. But it's actually the beginning. Because that beginning part of salvation is an outward walk. But when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes, it becomes an inward walk. And that's an area where you and I must maintain that inward walk. Is everybody okay? So we see that the baptism brings an inward walk. Still must maintain the process to grow spiritually, go deep into the things of God. That process doesn't stop there. That process never stops. It continues. Until one day we awake in His image and likeness. Go to 2 Corinthians 5. A life of regeneration. And the regeneration process. Glory. That's why He gives us those prayers to break off curses and so forth from our generations. Why? Because you're in regeneration. Everything is becoming new. And verse 14. Would you read it with me? For the love of Christ, what? Compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? Themselves. But for Him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Why? Because according to the flesh is someone who's living for themselves. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Well, the Word became flesh, didn't He? But I want you to understand something, that we're not acknowledging Jesus in the flesh no more. Why? Because we're acknowledging His Spirit now. The Spirit of Christ we acknowledge now. Does everybody got it? Why? So that we can have that inward walk. That's why the Word became flesh. That's why the Word went out, didn't do anything until the anointing came. And produce the Spirit of Christ. So now we're in relationship with the Spirit of Christ, because the letter kills and the Spirit brings life. So now there's an inward walk. The Old Testament was associated with an outward walk. And some people are still under the Old Testament. Even though they've accepted Jesus, they still don't believe in healing. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in and that regeneration process can only reach so far. Because without the inward walk and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God cannot be manifested. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is manifested by peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. See, that's why people who don't reach that place won't ever cast out a devil, especially out of themselves. They'll pray, oh, I'll pray, but they won't cast out a devil. Are you listening? They won't go lay hands on the sick. They'll call 911 before they do anything. They'll go to the phone instead of the throne. Because there's more of an outward walk than an inward walk. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Let's go a little further. In verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is what? In Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become what? New. Why? Because they're in the regeneration process, aren't they? That's where you and I must abide. The word in Christ is a representation of abiding. He says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. And it's done by the regeneration. It's done by the Holy Spirit. Has everybody got this? Good. Hallelujah. Now you got to understand that the new creation by the regeneration in Christ. Why? Well, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit then, right? And in this process, well, there's cooperation with Him. And again, it starts with discipline and continues in the seven attributes of regeneration. And one of the things that not only does is it brings new, but it brings us deeper in the Spirit. The purpose is I'm going to share a couple things. The purpose of this regeneration is to become, of course, we know, more like Christ, so that we become servants to the anointing. And we've heard this before, but I want to share this a little bit deeper. We become what? Servants to the anointing. So you become a servant to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not your servant. You are a servant to the anointing. You are stewards of the mysteries of God. These are things that the Holy Spirit, this is a regeneration is for. So that we become what? Servants to the anointing, stewards of the mysteries of God, ambassadors to the kingdom of God. That we become third-dimensional warriors. Overcoming the world and Satan's kingdom. Rescuing souls and restoring them to their original owner. That's why God brings us to the regeneration process, which does not stop. We talked about discipline, right? Discipline and obedience, the first two attributes of the seven attributes of regeneration, is a foundation process. Discipline and obedience. That is the foundation process. So when things start getting crazy, and it seems like there's no advancement, and it just seems like there's no victory in certain things, you go back to the foundation. In fact, it's our responsibility to maintain that foundation, which is discipline and obedience. In the foundation process of discipline and obedience is where priesthood is upkept. Is everybody with me? Why? Because you must maintain your priesthood. And that is maintained in the arena of the first two attributes, discipline and obedience. So we start every morning with our foundation, don't we? By being disciplined and obedient. Now, authority, dominion, and victory, the next three attributes, is a place of battle. It's a place where a warrior, a defender, and a soldier is established. Is everybody with me? It's a place where a warrior, a defender of truth, and a soldier who stands fast is established. And those three attributes are authority, dominion, and victory. It is a place of battle. And it's a place where a warrior is established and must maintain. So the first two is a place where it's foundation and priesthood. The next three is an area of warrior and where battles. So we got authority, dominion, and what? Victory is a place of what? Battle. Somebody got it? Authority, dominion, and victory is a place of what? Battle. And that's where a warrior, a defender, and a soldier is established. So we've got discipline and obedience is the foundation. Authority, dominion, and victory is where battles are, which is going to bring freedom and favor. Is everybody with me? It's going to bring what? Freedom and favor. Go to Matthew 28. Did you ever just, you didn't feel like doing something, but you know you needed to? It's called discipline. Hallelujah. Not everybody feels like getting up in the morning right away and going to pray. Your flesh is bucking. It wants coffee, breakfast, flesh burgers, you know, whatever. It wants to feed the flesh. And the devil meets you every morning with a list of things to do. He tries to convince you first thing in the morning that you don't have time to pray. You got too many things to do. You know, you're just too tired. So forth. But that's where you must be disciplined. Because you cannot go by how you feel. That's what will bring obedience. And now you're going to begin to maintain your priesthood. Because the next thing you know, you'll find yourself, as you're disciplined, and you get the next thing you know, you're ministering to the Lord. You're doing intercession, whatever you're praying. So you must be disciplined. Go to Matthew 28. Is everybody there in verse 17? Matthew 28 and verse 17. And it says, "And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." What does he say? Go therefore. Why? Because if he's given me authority, I've given you authority. But there is that process, isn't there? He says, "Go therefore and make what? Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this authority says, go. Go and do what? Make disciples. That's an authority that has been granted to the Lord, and an authority was granted to me and you. So everybody got it. Go to Luke 9. Luke chapter 9. I'm just going to hit on a few of the authorities. Luke chapter 9. Is everybody there? In verse 1. "And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them" what? "Power" and what? "Authority over" all what? "Demons." And to cure what? "Diseases." He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what? Heal the sick. That's the authority he's given me and you. Does everybody get this? So listen, he's given us the authority to what? Go disciple. Raise up priests and warriors. He's given us the authority over demons and diseases and sicknesses. Now go to Luke 10 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? "Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you." Then why are things hurting people? You know why? Because they're falling out of the regeneration process. Because they're beginning to do their will instead of the will of God. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." Do you know those demons are subject to you? But you know how many people don't believe it? They still sleep with the light on. You talking about me? Yep. It's called a demon of fear. "But rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." Hallelujah. You know, I wasn't raised up this way. You know. But I thank God that my daughter is being raised up this way. And I might have shared the story before, but I'll share with you it again. That one night, my daughter come running in the bedroom. I said, "What's up?" And she said, spirit of fear came in there, and I was so afraid. And I couldn't say anything, so I turned away and looked at the wall, and I commanded it and bound it, and I commanded it to leave my room. And then I got up and ran in your room. But other than that, she couldn't get out of the bed because the demon was in her room. I thought, whoa. I mean, here's a six. This, I think she was six or seven when this happened. I thought, this is awesome. You know, at my age, at six or seven, I would have just screamed myself. And then they came in and said, oh, you're just imagining things. Don't worry about it. I'll leave the door open a little for you. Come on, we all been there, right? And we were screaming, and man, we saw something. And nobody's going to tell you no different. I don't care what you say. You could say it's my imagination. You could say, I saw something. But they wouldn't believe us. We had to find out for ourselves later, huh? Oh. Praise God. So now we've gotten an authority over serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. All the power. Remember, the devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy, hasn't he? And he does a good job. So we must allow God to continue in that life of regeneration, is that regeneration process. You must trust him. Go to Mark 13. Authority, dominion, and victory. It's associated with battle and warrior. Yeah. Mark 13 and 33. Mark 13, 33. Oh, good. Let's start at 32. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father, when he will come. Take heed, watch, and what? Let's say that again. Take heed, watch, and what? Watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. And what does he say? Watch. So I want you to see something here now. Now we've coming from authority to dominion. We're coming from authority to what? Dominion. Go to Luke 19. Who did he give the authority to? His servants. So, if you're obedient, would you be considered a servant? Yeah. But it starts with what? Discipline, obedience, then authority, then dominion. Luke 19:17. Read it with me. And he said to them, what? Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. That means now that you are faithful with a little, you've utilized the authority I've given you correctly, I'm going to give you dominion. So everybody got it? He's going to get what? Dominion. Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. So do you think you're going to get dominion as soon as you get saved? You think you're going to get authority as soon as you get saved? No. You think you're going to be obedient as soon as you're saved? You're going to want to be, I hope. But will you become a will-a-be? In Genesis 1:26. Then God said what? Let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. Let them have what? Dominion. Over what? Over the fish of the sea. Do you know you have dominion over the fish of the sea? So you don't have to take a boat ride nowhere. Just call a couple whales over, you know. Over the birds of the air. Hallelujah. and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You have been granted dominion. But there's that process, isn't there? There's a regeneration process to where dominion is granted to us. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So in this place, God restores his image and likeness in me and you. In a place of dominion. Are you listening? In a place of what? Dominion. That's why many people have never even reached dominion place. Because they've been misled, stopped, or delayed in regeneration. And the enemy will do everything he can, because the one thing he doesn't want you to do is be in the image of Christ. He fears you. Do you understand that? He's afraid of you. And he'll do everything he can to make you afraid of him. Look how much he uses TV. They always make the creature win. I'm telling you, I get so frustrated. I want to get in that TV and cast the devil out of that thing. You know, and even in areas where they have these religious videos where, you know, this priest shows up with this cross and this thing, this person's manifesting like crazy or whatever. And I'm like, come on. Take dominion. Take your authority. He's over there doing all this, looking through the Bible. Doesn't know who he is, even though he wears a collar. Come on, are you listening? That's all I needed to do is come on in the name of Jesus. It's because the regeneration process has never reached dominion. Are you listening? Please get this. We must allow God to continue to bring us through the process. And it starts with discipline. So that you have dominion. In the area of dominion, you are in his image and likeness. And only in the area of dominion. Are you getting it? Oh, glory. It's the original position in Christ. That's where he created Adam and Eve to have dominion. And they fell, didn't they? In fact, the devil stopped a regeneration process with Adam and Eve. Because the Lord wanted to teach them what good and evil was. He didn't want them to become good and evil. He wanted to teach them what it was. And when they ate of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, they became good and evil. And their righteousness now fell. Go to Psalm 8. Glory. Psalm chapter 8. Let's start at verse 3. It's good. Psalm 8, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visit him. You know what he's talking about? Us. You have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have what? Dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Does everybody see this? This is what the angels were looking at when God was creating man. What is this about? What's so mindful about man? Wait a minute. You're making him a little lower than us. And you're giving them dominion over the works of your hands. See, when Adam and Eve were created, that's what they were created in the image and likeness of Christ, image and likeness of God, to have dominion. And the angels were still looking at this, going, whoa. And even though they fell, then God is restoring us now into his image and likeness, isn't he? And the angels still look at us, go, man, well, I mean, I'm sure they have a lot of things they say, they don't say it, but. You know, especially all the things they've seen us do. Especially all the things they saw me do. Hallelujah. But now we're walking in the righteousness of Christ. in the image and likeness with dominion, eating from the tree of life to maintain righteousness, starving our flesh from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we don't want to be good and evil anymore. We want to be righteousness. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 6. A life of regeneration. The seven attributes of regeneration. Now I know what those were for. Daniel 6 and verse 25. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every what? Dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion's den? Now, this brought great revelation to the king, didn't he? Now, this scripture is shared because it's about dominion. Dominion is an area of territory, isn't it? It's an area of what? Territory. So we have dominion over the works of God's hand. In other words, it's creation. And we have expansion. We have dominion over territory. God always gives you territory. Is everybody okay? And we have what? Dominion over it. Go to Colossians 1. So wherever you go, you take your dominion. You take your authority over that dominion because you have dominion. Colossians chapter 1. Now, you know, don't get granola and goofy and do things that God's not telling you, because you must go back to obedience. You must go back to what? Obedience. So you must always start your morning in disciplined obedience to maintain your priesthood. And then you, by maintaining your priesthood, then you get into your warrior. And you go with authority, dominion, and victory. Colossians 1:15. He is the what? Image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So you got to understand something now. God is now working through me and you because we are walking according to his image and likeness with dominion. Has everybody got it? So what's he doing? He's using me and you now with this authority and dominion to have victory and to begin to rescue his children, rescue those, grabbing souls, taking territories, and restoring them or returning them to the rightful owner, who is Christ. Has everybody got this? See, because he is, we are. Everyone say, because he is, I am. Hallelujah. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. Would you read it with me? For this is the what? The love of God, that we what? Keep his commandments. And his commandments are what? They're not burdensome. The only reason why his commandments are burdensome to people, because they haven't reached that place in regeneration. Oh man, I just don't know if I can do this. Oh, shut up and die. Just be disciplined, man. Quit trying to figure God out. Just do what you're told to do. And you'll get to the place where you become obedient. And next thing you know, you'll have authority. The next thing you know, you'll be looking in the mirror, casting those devils out that are tormenting you. And then you're going to have dominion. And then you're going to have fun. And it don't matter where you go. Hallelujah, you just take dominion. That's why the Bible says, first bind a strong man, that you may enter and plunder the goods of his house. So wherever you go, you just start doing warfare first. And you got authority. And he's going in and tell the devil to hand him all over. and over the souls. I'm going to restore them back to their rightful owner. That's our job. Servants of the anointing. Stewards of the mysteries of God and ambassadors for the King of glory and His kingdom. Glory. And verse 4. For whatever is born of God, what? Overcomes the world. He what? He overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So our victory, in other words, we are being established and going through regeneration to overcome this world, aren't we? That's called victory, isn't it? So we move from authority to dominion to what? Victory. Revelation 15. Start at verse 1. 1 through 3, somewhere around there. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingling with fire, and those who have victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. So they had victory over what now? The beast, his image, his mark, and his number. They had victory over it, didn't they? Why? They went through the regeneration process to victory. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Go to Psalm 98. How many of y'all know when the devil wants to put his mark on you? Amen. He wants to label you, doesn't he? Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a what? New song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Now, see, when you get to that place of dominion, now he's going to be moving through you. Does everybody got it? Moving through you in the area where victory is established. But it's him that brings the victory. What we've done is cooperated with him. So he'll use us and move through us to bring victory. The Lord has made known his salvation, his righteousness. He has revealed in the sight of all the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. His holy arm gains us the victory. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Let's read this together. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Has everybody got it? Has everybody got this? This is important. So this is the last arena of victory that will be taken, and that is the victory over death. Has everybody got it? Now I want to share a couple quick things, okay? God gives us a victory, right? Okay, he gives us authority, doesn't he? Dominion, victory, That's where we're warriors. We're, and in this process, in the regeneration process, there is not only seven attributes, but there are certain things that go with these attributes. And I'm going to tell you them. And it's almost like 7 hours, okay? Seven meaning complete and what? Perfect. Regeneration process. In that there is discipline. In discipline, you must relinquish yourself. Discipline is associated with relinquishing yourself. Obedience is to resubmit. In other words, you're resubmitting every time, aren't you? To be obedient. So you are resubmitting every time to God. Authority is to respond. You are going to what? Respond with authority. Dominion is to retake. In other words, because you are taking it by force. You are retaking territories which the enemy has taken. So dominion is retake. Victory is the area because it's been retaken. Now there's, you are reconciling. Is everybody with me? So because you've taken territory, now souls can be rescued, so they are known as, they are becoming reconciled to God, aren't they? In the freedom, freedom is associated with rejoicing. And favor is associated with reverence, because the Bible says God gives favor to those who reverence Him or are humble towards Him. So I'll say them again. The regeneration process, discipline is associated with relinquishing self. Obedience is to resubmit. Authority is to respond. Dominion is to retake. Victory is to reconcile. Freedom is to rejoice. And favor is to reverence. And I want to close at Psalm 141. Life of regeneration. Psalm 141. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense, the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a what? A kindness. Let them rebuke me. It shall be an excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. For still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God, the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I escape safely. Let me share with you where victory is won. It's in prayer. In prayer. Battles are won in prayer. And that's why it's so important to have a prayerful life. That's why you must start with discipline and obedience. Because the regeneration stops when a person stops praying. Is everybody listening? When a person thinks they just can go out and go do whatever and do the works of God without prayer, the regeneration process stops. That's why we must maintain our priesthood. discipline and obedience. In that, it is prayer, and battles are won in prayer. Victory is established in prayer. And that's how it starts, and that's how it ends. Prayer. And we'll talk more about that later. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the seed that's been imparted, and I apply the blood of Jesus upon that seed that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, let each and every one of us that's in this room today get revelation, the importance of this regeneration of the Holy Spirit, that we may be a life of regeneration, that we may be a part of a new generation that's been regenerated by your love, by your power, by your truth, by your presence. Lord, we thank you and we love you. I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight, Lord. Visit them. Establish them, anoint them, appoint them, give them the boldness to stand firm, that they become immovable, waiting on you, trusting in you, resting in you, that they may go forth in your image and likeness with dominion and power in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.